Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited about this program because we have some very interesting subjects to cover with a very interesting person. Katie Hill is a consumer reporter for MarketWatch, and she's got a lot of great stuff to talk about with us. So let me give you a quick introduction. Katie's a journalist, and her work has appeared in a lot of really important places. The Wall Street Journal, Smart Money, Worth Magazine, 17, Forbes.com, PBS's NextAvenue.org, the New York Daily News, and dozens of other publications, websites. And of course, we're very fortunate to count Real Money with David Holland among the places she's been. So we're here to have her talk a little bit about several subjects with us. And let me just dive right in here. Welcome, Katie, to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Listen, I could spend the rest of our time together introducing you with your history of all the different places you've been and things you've done, but I'm excited you're with us because I want to dive in. You know, it's the start of a new year, and that means that we have all kinds of wonderful ideas, resolutions, goals, and I will confess I sat down and wrote mine out and said, okay, here are the things I want to do, and now I'm focused on them, and I'm hoping to accomplish every single one of them. What's the first thing you tell people and things, I know that you wrote about this on with MarketWatch back in December about how to be smarter with your money for 2016, but what's your big thing you tell people about how to really focus in on your goals and what you want to accomplish in a new year?
Right. So one of the big things is how you frame your goal. This is something that a lot of people make a mistake for, right? So they say, okay, I'm going to spend less, right? But they frame that spending less as something like deprivation, like, oh,
right.
I'm going to spend less, which means I'm going to have to like give up all this stuff. Instead, you should reframe that goal, spending less, in what positive you get out of it. Oh, hey, you know, I'm going to spend less so that I can save up for this vacation. Reframe the spending less into what you get out of it, into the positives. That makes you way more likely to achieve your goals, and a bunch of research shows that. So you really need to kind of rethink how you're wording this and put it into a positive spin.
I like that. So you actually can turn around instead of giving up this, I'm going to get this by doing this.
Yeah, and then you're really motivated. Oh, yeah, that trip, instead of like, oh, gosh, I have to give up this again. I mean, nobody wants that. Nobody likes living their life deprived.
No, I know I don't.
But it's funny, we do goals like that. I mean, whether it's weight loss or financial, we really do it in terms of like deprivation instead of like, look, this is what I'm getting out of it, you know, and that's just one of the most important things when you're writing down these goals.
Well, I know that there's been a lot of studies done on this, as you mentioned, Katie. Is it just the way our brains worked where it's kind of a protective thing? Why do we frame it negatively?
Well, because a lot of times for us, it's like we've been doing something that we liked. We like spending too much. And so we think, oh, I have to give that up. And it's just sort of an automatic thing that we, we do, because it's usually it is something like eating or spending a lot of money that's actually quite enjoyable for us.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of like automatically frame it like that. And then, you know, it's funny when you said write down your goals. I mean, that's another important thing. And so when you're writing them down, write them down in a positive way. Spend less so I can get X, you know, or so I can do X. And then you're more likely to just remember, hey, it's all for this really great cause.
Yeah. So be very specific about your planning too, right?
Right. So this is another thing people do. They say, I'm going to save more. Well, that's great. We all hope we can do that. But what usually happens when you have a goal like that is it goes on for a month or maybe 2 months, and then you really stop doing it because you didn't have a specific plan. Save more, right? I'm going to save $100 a week. Here's how I'm going to do it. And you really have to map it out. And it was funny, you were saying you wrote down your goals for the year. You're probably a step ahead of a lot of people who don't even write them down and who don't have a really specific plan for how they're going to make them happen. And it sounds obvious, but every year people's goals get derailed because they don't do that.
Well, I will confess, I did hide the medicine inside the dog treat. Okay. I put the pill inside the dog treat. I wrote down a goal. I said, okay, I'm going to exercise 6 days a week. I'm going to be religious about it. I'm not going to miss. And in fact, I may even plan on 7. So I fall back to 6 if I miss a day. That was kind of the trick for myself. And then I said, okay, but I also want to take X number of weeks vacation, and here's when I want to do it. And I was very specific about it so that I have those goals kind of sitting out there and I can see them in my mind's eye, and I've already put them on the calendar.
That's great. And you know, you did something else that's really important. You planned for setbacks, which is something you got to kind of assume that every week is not going to be perfect. You know, you want to save more money. Some weeks it's just not going to happen because something's going to happen, you know, some unexpected expense or whatever it is. And so you really have to, within your goal planning, make room for setbacks. Assume that, you know, whatever it is, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the year, whatever, something, it's just not going to happen. And so you have to build that into your goal planning. And it sounds like you already did that. And a lot of people just don't really think like that. It is okay to have setbacks. You are going to have setbacks. No one's perfect. And just put that into your planning.
Yeah, I really just said all that. I didn't mean it. I'm just kidding.
I was like, maybe he's really like that.
Yeah. Well, you'll never know. It's the beauty of radio. I could say thanks, but no, seriously, it is good. I've heard people call it, you know, building margins in your life, you know, where everything doesn't, you know, you have to have a little room to wiggle, and because things always are going to happen. Something's going to come up. My wife pulled out of the driveway this morning and left my son sitting outside because he was being a little difficult. So she shut the door and he left, and I took him to school instead of her. So thankfully, I had a little room in my schedule.
Morning hiccups. Us parents know those well.
Yeah. So, but it was on purpose. It wasn't an accident. I don't know. Is that a good thing or bad? But no, things happen. You have to be prepared to adjust. And now another thing I know that you're a big fan of, and you know, this is, of course, harder for some of us than others, is automation. You like the idea of making things automatic.
I mean, I can't help it because I know in my case and everyone else's, I know if you don't do that, it's way easier to touch it and get your hands on it. So, yeah, I mean, have it automatically taken out of your paycheck, going right into that bank account. Because otherwise, you're like, you know, this week's different. I'll make an exception. And then you start making exception after exception because, you know, when it's in front of you, it's way more tempting. When it's not, when it's in that savings account that you don't ever look at, a little bit harder to spend it.
Well, I'll sound like the old guy talking to the younger guy. I wish I had known that, you know, 25 or 30 years ago, like everybody else. You know, the 401k or whatever way you can put money away every week or every paycheck, and you adjust your spending, adjust to what you make and what you have. And if you just get into that rhythm of not having that money, it goes in, and next thing you know, you go, wow, how much do I have in that account?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's simple advice that people have heard a million times. And it's still true. You know, no matter what the markets are doing, whatever's happening, that advice is still just tried and true and good.
Good. Well, and now here's another one that I know that is tried and true and good and often recommended, and I want to get your take on it, Katie, is the idea of getting social support. You know, do I need to tell 1,000 people my goals and to hold me accountable? I mean, is that really necessary, or can I tell just a couple and say, this is what I plan to do, encourage me, if you see me fall off the tracks, tell me?
You know, it's funny. I mean, I think for most people, a couple people, you know, make these goals with your spouse and then make a plan with your spouse, have like weekly check-ins to make all that happen. That really works. You know, I've seen some people, not necessarily with money-saving goals, but sometimes they blog about it, so it's very public, and that makes them hold accountable. I mean, that's obviously not for, that has no appeal for most people, but for some people that does work. But yeah, it's this idea that it's not just you out there. It's you and your friends who are helping, or it's you and your spouse who are helping, and then they, you know, that really does hold you accountable. And that's a way to keep those goals from just kind of sliding off a cliff and not happening.
Well, I just told 600,000 people in our local market that I'm going to exercise 6 days a week. So I guess I better do it
now,
right?
I'm holding you to it. We'll talk next year and I'll see about that.
I'm in trouble. If you're just joining us, Katie Hill is with us and she's a consumer reporter over at MarketWatch. Real excited to have her. And before we go to the break, Katie, tell us about the book. It's let me get it right. ShoeJimmyShoe.com.
Yeah. So it's basically a guide for women in their 20s to help them kind of spend less, save more. It's sort of a money 101 guide for people who, like me, I wrote this because I was exactly like this, who didn't really grow up with very much personal financial knowledge, and my parents didn't really teach me that much. So it's sort of a money 101 book for really geared towards women, although, you know, men can definitely read it too, for women in their 20s to give them sort of financial savvy.
So it's Shoe Jimmy Shoe, The Modern Girl's Guide to Spending Less and Savings More. Parenthetically, men can read it too.
Yes.
All right.
And I encourage it.
Okay.
It's not pink, though. I'm warning you.
And I'm going to spell the website for everybody. It's S-H-O-O, Jimmy, C-H-O-O.com.
Yep, that
All
is right.
Right. Okay. Well, then we'll grab a quick break. We'll be back with Katie. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our Y has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. With a focus on healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility, there are many different options to get your family involved, such as sports, swim, exercise, and much more. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and fitness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
All right, we're back. Katie Hill on the line with us, and we're excited to have her with us. She has been doing a lot of media and very well recognized in the field of finance, and she's got some great tips for us as we start another new year, and we're talking about building plans and having goals, and of course, the book we mentioned before the break, Shoe, Jimmy Shoe, The Modern Girl's Guide to Spending Less and Saving More, website you can get good information, shoojimmycho.com. Welcome back, Katie, and let's turn our attention to something that is kind of a strange thing to juxtapose with financial decisions. So when I saw you'd written this back on Mark and Watch back in December, I was like, huh? And then I read it again. I'm like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And it's how our prejudices can affect our money decisions or even cost us money. And so give us a little bit of insight there how prejudices can get in our way.
Yeah, this is actually custom data that I had this company OpenFolio run for me. They look at they have people share their portfolios and they kind of analyze the data based on that. But I thought, you know, we're all biased. A lot of us think we aren't, but we are in how we invest. And so I had them look at where major investor biases come from. And I thought what they found was fascinating. So the first thing is where you live affects what you invest in. So people in the Northeast, for example, they tend to invest more heavily in financial companies. And that's because what they found is that we tend to invest in companies more where, that have headquarters near where we live. So you live in the Northeast, it's finance. You live in the West, it's technology. You live in the South, it's energy. So it really impacts how diversified your portfolio is where you live. And you probably had no idea that this was having such a pretty significant impact on your portfolio.
Well, see, I thought it was just because everything's better up north. That's not okay. All right. That's a southern thing we say down here. All right.
You know, I'm from the south and I live in the north, so I don't even, I'm straddling that line.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about then. You've never heard that. So it can affect how you invest. And that's an interesting thing for people to think about, not to let that get in their way where, you know, hey, I know the company or I'm close to it, or there's even that natural affinity for being, you know, kind of close to something. It's kind of like rooting for your sports team. And, you know, you have to be careful letting something other than just the pure facts and logic affect your decision-making when it relates to some of the investments you make.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I mean, it's so funny. That's just what they saw. These portfolios just tended to slant towards, you know, the companies that were in your area. So I thought that was fascinating.
How about your age? Now, that's a surprising one also. Can our age get in our way?
Yeah. So here's what happens. They looked at the top stocks that people were invested in for by their age, right? Apple and Facebook, everybody likes those. Those tend to be number one and two no matter what, or number one and number three, whatever. They're very high up. Okay, but here's what happens. So people under 50, they really like sort of the hot new stock. So the 25 to 34 age group, Tesla was in their top five. And then the 35 to 49 age group also had Tesla. But then once you get over 50, there's no Tesla. They're not that interested in it. And they instead put a lot of like General Electric, those blue chip kind of stocks. That's who likes those. So there really is quite a difference in what we choose to invest in based on our age, with younger people really going for these younger, hotter, and by the way, riskier stocks.
Interesting. Well, I think there's a lot of lot of logic to that as well. And you know, it's funny, you mentioned Facebook and Apple. You know, everybody's buying them, and they're in every mutual fund, and they're hard to avoid if you're investing in any type of mutual fund or pooled investment account. But it is interesting to note that, you know, the younger are looking at the more risky, which actually, you know, conveniently does make some financial sense that you have a little bit more of an aggressive type of investment where you can afford either for the stock to be depressed or to lose value and then hopefully recover in the future or have that time.
Right. You have time to make up for those losses. So it's funny. It's probably an accident that they choose those, but it actually works out right then in the end. So I think interesting. And yeah, I loved that, you know, Tesla was just so popular with the under 50, and over 50 was just like, no way, I'm not that interested in it. It was an interesting difference.
You still need to know how it works. You know, you still need to know what you're buying.
Yeah.
If you can't explain it, then you probably shouldn't invest in it. And
good advice there. Yeah. You're so right.
Yeah, very good. Well, speaking of investing time. Let's shift gears, and this will be kind of a nice hard break or change subject. There's no segue here. I just want to switch over and talk about something else, and that is flying. You know, one of the things that people sometimes end up investing a lot of time and energy in is trying to make their travel plans. And of course, we've just come off of one of the biggest traveling times of the year around the holidays. So I know that you wrote about this as well back in December, Katie, and I'd love to get your take on some of the myths and some of the challenges that people face when they're trying to book their travel, you know, working through a travel agent, working directly, trying to go through these different websites. You know, I'll be honest with you, I get confused when I start thinking and hearing about these different websites. I don't know if I'm supposed to be in a kayak or if I'm supposed to be, on some sort of Viago, Triago. I don't know. It's all very confusing to me. So I end up doing it
on
old
purpose,
school.
Right. It's very confusing. You know, it's interesting. One of the biggest myths, you probably heard this, it's kind of pervasive. You've even seen it written about almost everywhere, is that the golden ticket to get the best prices, you're supposed to buy your airline tickets on Tuesday. That is a complete myth. You know, now this is all done by logarithms and timing, and it depends on your different route. So you can't just say, oh, I'm going to book on a Tuesday. Like, you know, that used to be kind of true. That used to be when the sales come out. But now it is just so varied and so different that that is absolutely no longer true. I mean, of course, sometimes you'll get a great deal on Tuesday, but that's not the golden ticket day like it used to be maybe like 20 or so years ago.
Yeah, if it were true, it had been true for like 2 minutes, and then the airlines would have caught on to that.
They have seriously caught on now. You know, I had this company, Hopper. I don't know if you've ever used them, but they're pretty good for if you want to research, say, when is the cheapest time to fly. Right. So let's say you want to fly Florida to New York. Yeah. They'll give you, like, route history, and they'll say this is the cheapest time to fly. This is what you should be paying for a ticket. So they're actually quite good at that. But they told me that Tuesday, they looked at all these domestic flights over a course of, I think, 3 years. And Tuesday was only the cheapest time to buy tickets, 1.6% of the routes. So that's pretty low. Yeah, you just kind of got to do your homework now. I wish there was a simple answer, but it's not like that.
Okay, so you're going to make us work. I got it. Okay.
Sorry about that. No one likes that answer.
Yeah. Well, here's a question, Katie. I mean, when we're looking at flying and we're trying to figure this out, you know, I go to the different websites. I take a look. I've worked with a travel agent. And, you know, I've done all of it. And to me, it really boils down to finding what's going to work just from a schedule and everything else. But, you know, you hear about some of these different offers, and yeah, I'm a little reluctant to book through the alternative, you know, go and find me. I'll use them to find what I'm looking for, and then I would prefer to go directly to the site just because I feel more comfortable with that.
And you're onto something, actually. A lot of the, it used to be, right, you would go to an Expedia or wherever and book through them, and that's how you'd get the cheapest flight almost always. I mean, that used to be true. Now the airlines are really scrambling to keep up with that. A lot of them, I know, for instance, Delta has a price guarantee, so if you find a price on their flight less, they'll give you a voucher, they'll refund you the difference. Sometimes the flights are cheaper on the airline's website because they're trying to get you to book through them. So there's a new rule. I mean, here's what I do personally. I go on a site like Google Flights or Kayak, and I kind of do a little price research. And then once I find, oh, this is the flight I want on whatever, on Delta or whatever airline, I then go right to the airline site and book through them, assuming that they have that low price on their site. And they usually, honestly, lately I've seen that they usually just do.
They do. I agree. I agree with that. Well, there's more to talk about with flying. But we need to take a quick break. Katie Hill's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, and the website. Go check out the book, Shoe Jimmy Shoe, The Modern Girl's Guide to Spending Less and Saving More. Lots of good information there about Katie as well. And it's S-H-O-O, Jimmy, C-H-O-O.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, a Digny Memorial provider. We are committed to service beyond expectation, before, during, and after the service. To that end, we offer a service guarantee. If there's anything we can do to meet your individual needs, please let us know and we'll take care of it immediately. This is another way we offer great level of professionalism in working with our families. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
All right, we're back. Katie Hill on the line, consumer reporter at MarketWatch, and we're glad to have her with us. And again, the website for the book, it's a mouthful. So S-H-O-O, Jimmy, C-H-O-O. So ShoeJimmyShoe.com is the website, and that's the books. Shoe Jimmy Shoe, The Modern Girl's Guide to Spending Less and Saving More. But we're talking about some other subjects as well with Katie, and I wanted to just kind of touch a little bit longer, if we can, Katie, on the flying thing, because, well, I guess I'm just going to be honest with you. It's an area I'm interested in, so I want to talk about it.
Oh, I hear you. No, me too. I write a lot about this stuff for that reason.
You know, the thing that I sometimes am tempted to look at, and it's just because I try to be smart with my time, is I try to look at alternatives. You know, I've gone and looked at different things, and I look at some of the alternatives to the commercial flight. And let's be honest, sometimes you feel like, I at least feel like I'm a cow. I grew up in a small town, so I know what a cattle chute looks like, and you put them down the row, and then there's another row, and
yeah.
I feel like I'm a cow in line on these commercial airlines, and I don't care which one it is.
You are, yeah.
Okay, all right, good. Well, they have, and I've been branded a couple times, too, and it really hurts.
You know what? Right, no, the seats are getting smaller. They're like the width, there's less padding in them. This is all just well-documented nonsense. It's horrible. It makes your head spin.
So, you know where I'm going here. What do we have, any real, honest to good, reasonable alternatives to commercial flights? I mean, can we get into private?
Yeah, if you are incredibly flexible. So this is probably this is a deal I'm going to tell you about that's probably way better for someone who is retired. So there is a site called jetsuite.com, and they offer daily next day deals on private jets. Now, you have to be willing to go the next day.
All right.
Sometimes they're, however, as low as $90 a person. So, it can be super cheap. You have to be able to, you know, go that day. I mean, you have to be super flexible. But there is a decent amount of flights from major airports. Los Angeles, New York have some flights out of there, Teterboro in New York, Los Angeles. I think it's worth checking because, you know, I it's not going to work for the people like me who have got a 9-to-5 and, you know, a child. But if you're retired and you're near one of these major airports, it is certainly worth going on there and checking. Now, these are typically one way, so you're going to have to, rent a car, figure out another way home. But, hey, I mean, flying private is pretty nice, so definitely worth looking into.
Well, okay, and I skipped this before, but I have to ask that, you know, and part of this is a little bit of retribution back to the airline, so here it is. I'm a little exhausted hearing, here I am paying for my commercial flight, and I'm sitting there, and we're doing the whole routine, you know. At some point during the flight, they have to get on the loudspeaker, and I try to reach up and put my hand over the speaker so I don't have to hear it every time, but they want to tell me about their stupid credit card.
I'm so tired
of hearing about it.
Generally not a good idea. Yeah, they do. They gotta plug that thing. You know what? These used to be the gold standard. They were wonderful for people who flew a lot. Now you're generally better off if you travel a lot with a travel cashback rewards card. That's because these airlines are just routinely devaluing their miles. By the way, this is all those major commercial airlines are doing this. So generally, these aren't that great of a deal. I mean, yes, maybe if you're in a city and one airline flies out of it and you always fly on that airline, then you can, you know, and you want to, you know, get upgraded to first class or business class. I mean, these can sometimes make sense. I'm not going to say they never do, but a lot of times they just don't anymore. And that's because they're devaluing their miles. So there you are spending all this money and it's just not worth as much.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I think it's a hassle. I don't want to put a downer on it, but it's like, good grief. It's like one more thing to have to keep track of. And what's my frequent flyer number again?
You're too busy. Yeah.
It's just a lot. All right. And so when it comes time, though, to book our flights, there are times to procrastinate and times not to, I suppose.
Yeah, holiday travel. I was writing this during the holidays, and I thought, you know, does it matter when I book my travel? And what was interesting to me is I've always heard, you know, my mom's I'm coming home. She says, you got to book your Thanksgiving travel months in advance. So I had Hopper run this multi-year analysis of me of looking at the prices for Thanksgiving flights. And it turns out those prices tend to just start off high, and they don't really go up or down. So you're okay to procrastinate don't get it, you know, within the 2-week window. I mean, get it a little bit before that. But you're okay to, like, if you're booking, you know, 4 weeks ahead of Thanksgiving, you're probably going to say roughly the same price that someone who booked, say, 2 months ahead for Thanksgiving. Because it just, they don't really change that much. They start off high and that's how they stay. And then within the 2-week window, they get a little bit higher. Christmas, however, you do want to book early.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Now, one other thing that I found is we talked about using the different sites. You know, I had a personal experience with this that where that sometimes when you try to get the quote unquote the best deal, it ends up putting you on multiple airlines. And I had one time where I literally, and this is such a bad thing to confess on the radio, but I literally, Katie, was standing in the middle. I think it was the Atlanta airport. Literally standing there going, I don't know where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
I didn't know what flight it was because the ticket or whatever I was at just wasn't clear. And I couldn't tell what airline I was supposed to be on. And I'm like having, just about having a heart attack. I'm like, what in the world? So, you know,
right, because the airline that you were on originally, they just tell you where their connecting flights
exactly.
are, and then they just leave you out, and you're like, hey, wait, what? And Atlanta Airport, by the way, is not fast to get around. It's huge. It's like O'Hare, you know? It's hard.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that's a little old school, but once you figure out your flights, and you know, there's also something that I have to tell you that above and beyond some of these loyalty programs and frequent flyer, you know, if you get an airline that you feel comfortable with, and if it means you spend a few extra dollars with something that is easier and that you know, the thing that sometimes I think people do is we don't put enough value on our time.
I think you're right.
And if you know, you know, for me, you know, Daytona Beach is my closest airport. And, you know, it's sometimes it's very convenient to fly on Delta. And I know it's Delta and it's Daytona's going to have a strong Delta presence. And I know what I'm getting and it's convenient, it's easy, and it's very predictable. Instead of what's the airline, what's the procedure, do I have to pay in advance for my baggage or do I have to do it at the gate? You know, all of that. It's just one more thing.
No, you're right, and it's interesting. The Frontiers and the Spirits, they tend to be a lot more fee-heavy than, you know, the old school, the Deltas and those kind of carriers. So that is something to think about. Because when you're booking travel, it used to be you look at the ticket price. You really cannot do that anymore, especially if you have baggage or you're going to want extra leg room. I mean, you got to really dig into the terms on their site to figure it out. But in general, Spirit and Frontiers have a lot more fees, so you got to be quite careful.
Yeah, sometimes it's built in, sometimes it's a la carte. But just stress to people as they listen to us talk about this, Katie, that don't ignore the value of your time. And, you know, we only have so many hours in a day. We all got the same number and use them wisely.
I think you're absolutely right.
All right, Katie. Well, very good. Well, thank you for coming on and agreeing with me. I appreciate that. Katie Hill, ladies and gentlemen, an outstanding reporter, consumer reporter for Market Watch. And the website again, one more time, Shoe Jimmy Shoe, S-H-O-O Jimmy, C-H-O-O.com. And the book is Shoe Jimmy Shoe, The Modern Girl's Guide to Spending Less and Saving More. Katie, thank you very much for being with us. Enjoyed having you on.
Great. Thank you so much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.